Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hey, road trippers, it's time for another episode of Agave Road Trip, brought to you by La Luna Mezcal de Michoacan. Strap yourselves in, grab a copita, and have some La Luna.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Brooklyn in the case of no one this week.
Actually, nobody.
Wait, are you in Brooklyn?
No. Not me. I went to DC.
No one is in Brooklyn. I am currently in Asheville. You just heard Matt. We have Matt and Katie here from the HRN team. Guys, so Matt, you're in DC. Katie in Connecticut. How's it going, guys?
Back in Connecticut. I'm a little out of breath because I just chased my dog away from a bunch of coyote pups. So that was a little excitement and wildlife here in the burbs.
Oof, that's scary.
It's all good. All's well.
We're back on HRN Happy Hour this week. We have started, the team has been started to take turns week to week because like normal, we're not in the studio, so we're trying to kind of divide and conquer here. So, but we do have some really great guests this week, and Katie is going to introduce our lovely virtual guests.
I am so excited, you guys. We have some new additions to the HRN family. If you're a fan of HRN Happy Hour or really any of our programs, you've probably heard of the first two guests I'm going to introduce. First of all, welcome back to the show, Lou Bank, Mezcal educator and HRN family regular. Hello, Lou.
Hey, how you doing? And can I just say, when you say I'm an addition, did you say an addition to the show? What'd you say?
Because I feel like a subtraction. To the HRN family.
The family. Sometimes I feel like a subtraction. That's all. In mathematical terms.
No, I'm very glad to be here. It's a net gain on all sides. We're really, really happy. And welcome also to Salvador Chava Periban. Welcome.
Hello there. It's a pleasure from Mexico City.
All right. So Salvador and Lou, I'm going to call you Chava because I will again in a second introduce our second Salvador. But Chava and Lou have already been guests on HRN Happy Hour before, and they are here today to drop a special preview of, drumroll please, their brand new HRN podcast, Agave Road Trip. We are so thrilled that you guys are on the network. You can hear the episodes on the Agave Road Trip feed or on the Speakeasy. And we are so happy that season one of Agave Road Trip was really generously supported by La Luna Mezcal. And we have Salvador Chavez here, who is the founder and CEO of La Luna, to join us on Happy Hour as well. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here with you guys.
We're so glad to have you.
Can I just say you're probably not as glad as I am? I didn't think we were going to find a sponsor. I made so many poop jokes in that first season. We didn't play any of this for Salvador, so he didn't know. This is probably the first time he's finding out. But we cashed the check, right?
Oh, yeah. Now we can release the beast.
All right. I never felt anything more than proud to be writing that check. And so once again, excited to be here for this first happy hour.
It's such a good show. We are so thrilled. And Lou and Chava did a really great job, I thought, talking about La Luna in a really thoughtful way. But also, they have their classic humor is mixed in. So I hope you like it. And Lou, I think, can you and Chava give just like a very quick intro to the series? And then I want to talk to Salvador more about La Luna, because I know he has to jump off and we're going to hear the full first episode of the show after this. So just tell us, like, how did Agave Road Trip come to be? What in creation institute to do this project and get in the car together and drive around Oaxaca.
Well, to be fair, you know, some secret origins are secret for a reason. So we're not going to reveal everything about it. But in essence, Chava and I ran into each other in Oaxaca in the oddest of circumstances. And it's explained in the first episode, so I don't want to go too into detail. But, you know, it was one of these random meetings that happens in the world of agave. And we connected and bonded and just honestly... I mean, I'm speaking for myself here, obviously, not Chava, but I wanted to spend more time with Chava, locked in a car.
And it's weird because we met so long ago, and it took many years to actually figure out how to do a project together.
I think it would have happened sooner if you hadn't left me for Asia.
That's correct. But, you know, I had to go travel, find my soul, find some other people, you know.
Sure, you did a spirits road trip absent agave through Asia for a couple of years. Yeah.
Yep. But I think agave road trip, in a way, it's basically bringing that thing that it's very foreign to a lot of people and making it more homey, right? Like giving it a space in your house and in your heart to enjoy.
Well, you said a lot of people, and you know how I feel about that. There's only one person I want to speak to.
Gringo bartenders.
It's a podcast to help gringo bartenders better understand agave spirits and rural Mexico. That's it.
Yeah. Lou, we don't care about any other type of people.
Well, why is that the target audience for you?
Well, you know, it's the target audience for me because I think too many people get this idea that we want to reach the broadest audience possible. And as a result, they don't really have a focus to their material. I want to be focused. I want to be laser focused. Now, I understand there are going to be other people who listen to us, and I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I don't care about them. I care about the gringo bartenders.
Well, and then there's also this part where that gives us the chance to be more specialized, to really talk about the things that are more interesting in the agave spirits world. If it was like a free-for-all podcast, we wouldn't be able to open some kind of worms they're really interested in.
Yeah, that's fair. And the other reason is when I walk into a bar, I want to get a free drink now and again.
Yeah.
Can't help you for that.
I mean, it's as good a reason as any, Lou. Well, I'd like to turn to Salvador while we have a little bit of time and take advantage of having your expertise here on the show. And could you just give a quick overview? I know La Luna has quite a range of agave products, and Lou kind of talks about this in the show, but he was hesitant to work with a spirits brand in particular. But what is it about La Luna that makes it a good fit for the show and that made it palatable for Lou for you to have this brand association?
So, you know, La Luna has really evolved over some time. You know, for me, I landed in my home state, my family's home state of Michoacán, as a passion play. You know, I really wanted to work in the state and represent mezcal from that region. And then ultimately now, you know, we're a brand that features most of, if we haven't yet, we're going to, most of all the biodiversity of agave from the state. I feel like we're very educationally focused. So from that perspective, I think that might bode well for your audience, for the people you're trying to educate. Lou obviously is a big fan of education and is known for it. So I think a lot of synergy in that sense. We respect the tradition of mezcal in terms of how it's produced in the state. So every product that we have that people get to try is done the way it's been done for decades and decades and decades in Michoacán. So kind of all these things combined, and really the respect that I have for mezcal as, in my opinion, the most important spirit of Mexico, historic and for many other reasons. We really hold it with the respect it deserves, and I think a lot of people are starting to notice that.
And Salvador, how much how much outreach do you do to the sort of gringo bartender population that Lou says is their primary audience for Agave Road Trip?
I would say, you know, I actually like the perspective, maybe not so much for the free drinks that Lou wants, but I love it because I've always held in contention that bartenders are like the first line of defense of education for the consumer that doesn't know enough about mezcal and agave as a whole. So I love that idea because I feel like they would be the ones who, when someone sits down and doesn't understand what mezcal is and the beauty and depth of it, the bartender is the one that has always been the front line of telling them what it is through their lens, through what education they've gotten. So if through Agave Road Trip they can get more education and dive deeper and have more talking points to give people, I think that mezcal will grow and people will start learning all the nuances of it, which are, you know, I always say the imperfections of mezcal will make it perfect in terms of how it's produced, all of the things that go into it. Such a difficult thing to produce and bring to market. It deserves a lot of education. That's really the only way this thing really works.
Damn it. That was a way smarter answer. Can you ask me the question again? I want to steal. Actually, I can't even steal the answer because it's out of my head already. Way smarter answer, Salvador. 2 points.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Salvador, I feel like, you know, for many people, when they think of agave, they're going to immediately kind of go to Oaxaca. That, you know, yeah. if they've only ever had it a couple times or don't know so much. Can you tell us a bit more about, like, the region of Michoacán and, like, what's special about that part of Mexico?
Yeah, you know, a coastal state known for being able to grow almost anything that they plant in the soils there. It's a special state that's really underrepresented still today, even with us working so hard. And quite frankly, we're just one brand. So there's so many other mezcaleros out there that still have a story to tell. A lot of deep and rich history in Michoacán, and just a lot of people don't maybe know about it as much. There's some actually overlap with Raicilla because of being a border state to Jalisco and that whole region, which that actually plays a lot into my story because Cotija is one of those towns that borders Jalisco, and so some of the production methods of Raicilla with a clay pot overlap into Michoacán, which a lot of people don't know. So there's just a lot of special differences and similarities in mezcal production in Michoacán that I feel like, you know, people are starting to find out about, and through our efforts, which maybe are a little bit more, like I obviously work at this every day with our team. A lot of people are starting to understand that Michoacán has a story to tell, and people are starting to listen.
That's awesome. Well, Salvador, I know that you will have to run in a few minutes. So in case we miss you again, like, I want to say thank you so much for supporting Agave Road Trip and for coming on the show today and for telling us a little bit more about La Luna. I can't wait to get my hands on a bottle because Lou and Chava have been talking it up so much.
I'm excited for that as well. You know, it's like I said, I think that the sponsorship and us being involved really just aligned really well with us being educationally focused. Lou does a great job of doing that. And so I've listened to the snippets of Chava and him, and I feel like people are going to have a blast listening to the show. They're going to learn a lot. They get a chance. Well, go ahead.
Just to be clear, though, like, twice now you've said that I am educationally focused, and I want everyone to know I was kicked out of college after 18 months. So, I'm, you know, there is a limit to my educational focus.
Well, then I think Agave whipped you into shape to be able to educate really well. You became a quasi professor in this whole world. So, it's been, you know, that's really what it's about. Like I said earlier. Mezcal deserves so much attention and depth and focus and education. So things like Agave Road Trip will do that for the consumer and for the gringo bartender that Lou wants to talk to.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Salvador. We're so grateful for your support, and we really are excited to have this relationship, and I'm very excited to be thinking more about what I'm drinking this summer with what I'm going to learn from the show and thinking about La Luna.
Thank you so much. La Luna de Michoacán, we're proud and happy to be a part of this. So I really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So Lou and Chava, give us a little bit more of a taste of what people can expect when they're listening to the first season of the show. I love, for example, like, every episode you're hearing from a mezcalero, you're getting some, like, And not everything necessarily is about the agave. It's about like travel tips and things like that. So give us a bit more of a teaser of what we can expect to hear when we listen.
Look at
the time. Look how much time we have left, Chava. How much time do we have left in this? She said we had 20 minutes, and we're more than 15 minutes into this. Now, the problem is, if we start talking about what people are going to hear in less than 5 minutes, if we start talking about it, we will not be able to convince people to sign up as road trippers, and that's the only reason that you and I are on this right now.
Yeah. But I also think that there's something really important that people should know. And I think that that's the biggest difference of what we're doing, is that we're traveling to the source. We're going into these Mixteca roads and we're just like getting a white BMW and breaking the hell out of... Okay, I'm not going to say anymore.
They're going to hear this in 4 minutes. We have 4 minutes to convince people to sign up to be road trippers. When they spend $60 at Heritage Radio Network to become an individual member and they choose Agave Road Trip as their... What would you call it? The host show? What would you call it, guys?
Designation.
Yes.
As the what?
The designation.
The designation. When they choose Agave Road Trip as their designation, they officially become road trippers. And what do they get, Chava?
They're going to get a little flask. Well, a little flask that looks little, but it tastes like a big one from Tequilana that you bought very generously. It's staying at my place. And they're going to go pick it up at a parking lot that I'm administrating in Mexico City. And they're going to get a Batman and Robin meme talking about all the misconceptions that tequila has out there for people that are not making their homework.
So it's a Batman meme flask. It's 200 milliliters of this amazing heritage blue agave spirit made in Jalisco.
Yep.
But I have to go. Am I allowed to get this?
Of course.
I have to sign up right now.
Like, I've already been accused of being a bootlegger by the Illinois Liquor Control Commission, so we can't actually bring it into the country and give it to you. People who sign up as a membership, they have to go down to Mexico City where they'll get to meet Chava, and he'll personally hand them these flasks.
I just want to say that HRN is not paying for travel in that, but... At $60, they also get a HRM bandana for themselves and their friend. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend maybe traveling right now during COVID-19.
No, but if you do, no, work, after the
giving you a bandana to protect yourself, hopefully.
There you go. It's a bandana and booze package. But only when
and we
you
make
designate
no claims for your personal safety or compliance with local laws on any of these components of your membership.
Don't worry
package.
About that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Well, now we've got like a minute and a half to talk about. Now do you want to tell them, Chava? You want to talk all about what we do now, Chava, for a minute and a half?
Well, no. I think you do have a point. I mean, the episode is right here next corner, so...
You know what isn't here, though, and it's a little frustrating to me, is the theme song. Like, to me, the theme song says everything about what we are and
what
we're
playing the theme song. We're going to go to commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to play the theme song.
Well, hang on.
Unless
it doesn't include the full, like, it sounds like there's more. I want the uncut theme song.
Exactly. I want you guys to sing it right here, right now.
Okay. I don't know that I can harmonize with you. Do you want me to just take this, Chava, or do you want to try and sing with
take
me?
Take it. I'm just going to hum a melody on the background.
Okay. Two dudes named Lou and Chava in a car not built for back roads. Travel back roads that were never meant for cars. Their singular objective is to learn about agave and bring that knowledge back to gringo bars. Okay, now hit it, Chava. Agave road trip. There's an actual recorded version on the website. Is it on the website or is it on the Facebook page?
I think it's in the Facebook because we have an older member in cast, so our Facebook is very active. We also have Instagram.
Yeah,
ways to find out.
Yeah. I want to put my round of applause, but I'm holding my microphone with one hand because we are all in our home studios. So this is the sound of one hand clapping so enthusiastically for that rendition of your Agave Road Trip theme song.
I want the full theme song. Shoot me the file because it's going at the front of this episode or something.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Done. Yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Well, if People aren't dying to hear this show at this point. I don't know whatever will get them to this level of enthusiasm. So, okay, we're gonna go to a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to play for you the first episode of Agave Road Trip with Lou and Chava. And Lou, Chava, thank you so much for joining us today. This is such an exciting way to go into a long holiday weekend and get everyone ready to digest this full first season of one of the most exciting shows we've ever had on HRN. So thank you.
Well, Cat, Katie, Matt, thank you for putting your trust in Chava and believing that he can actually keep me reined in.
Yeah. I try to turn my best. Well, we love you guys. You're awesome. We love the show. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Kat. And we'll see y'all next week.
Hasta pronto.
Bye-bye.
Hasta pronto. Salud.
Agave Road Trip is brought to you by La Luna Mezcal de Michoacán. Hey, Lou, I was wondering if you ever drink mezcal cocktails. And if you do, do you happen to know any secret obscure formula to make them truly delicious?
Why, as a matter of fact, Chava, I have. I have tried the Cupriata Mezcal from our friends at La Luna Mezcal. It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, of the cocktail mezcals, what people call cocktail mezcal. And it's sort of a term that I think people use sometimes derisively. But I got to say, I will drink neat mezcal Cupriata from La Luna, and I also enjoy it in a cocktail, and I don't tend to drink cocktails that much. It's funny, I had my friend Michael Rubel at Astereo make some cocktails for me, and I asked him to try different mezcals in them, and my favorite blind taste test was the one that had the La Luna Cupriata. I'm Lou Bank.
I'm Chava Periván.
And this is Agave Road Trip. In fact, this is the very first, it's not even the first, it's like the zero episode of Agave Road Trip, in which we are going to explain to you what Agave Road Trip is and why we're doing it.
And who we are, too.
Oh, I guess who we are?
Yeah, because, you know, like, as much as you love me and I love you back, Lou, people don't really know why do we care about agave spirits.
Yeah, why do we care? It's funny.
And why do we happen to know anything about agave spirits if we happen to know something about them?
Yeah, fair enough. You know, so I'm not even sure that I care about agave spirits. I care about the people who make agave spirits. It's why I got obsessed because I actually thought it was delicious. But that brought me to the communities where they make the agave spirits. And then I started learning more and more about the families who make them in a traditional way. And that's what fascinates me.
And you don't own any bar, any restaurant? Are you a brand ambassador?
No.
Are you? What is your relation? What was your relation to mezcal before you got, or agave spirits before you got in there?
You know, honestly, like for me, I had a job for just over a year working for a brewery in Oregon. And before that, I had literally not had more than 5 glasses of beer my whole life. I just wasn't a drinker. And I thought it was because, you know, all beers tasted alike. They all tasted like, you know, Coors or Miller Lite. And then the world of craft brewing descended upon me like an angel of death. And I fell in love with it, and then found out I was gluten intolerant and had to find something else to drink.
And that was mezcal.
And that was absolutely mezcal. I thought at the time whiskey had gluten. Right, because it's great, right? I didn't understand that was left behind in the distillation process.
Let's just say you're not a scientist.
I am not a scientist. I think we can very safely say that. For me, I was trying to find something gluten-free that was as delicious and diverse as these great craft beers, and that was mezcal. So I headed down to Oaxaca a few years after tasting my first mezcals. And on the second or third trip, I started seeing all these beautiful glass bottles at Los Amantes, and I asked them where they made it, and they pointed me to this glass factory, Jacquiche. So my wife, Connie, and I headed over to Jacquiche one day, and hey, there was a guy named Chava.
Underslept, haven't had a shower probably like in 2-3 days because I was working like crazy. I had a rather crazy hair at the time.
It was Christmas Day, I believe, and so you just looked the part of celebrating the birth of Christ. You looked like Christ.
I did, and I remembered that day perfectly. I was losing it because I was writing this grant. So at the time, I was specializing in combustion systems, which is the fancy way of saying I was designing fire. I used to say that it was like every teenager's dream job, just being a pyromaniac, you know, a pyro and being paid for that. And at the time, I was making that to melt glass for glass blowing, also to fire ceramics. And when I met you, I think we just had started researching the dynamics that will allow us to make equipment for distillation.
Oh, fascinating. And that must be why you had some agave spirits on hand for me to try.
From Olegario, what's his last name?
Olegario Juarez. You poured me an Araqueño that blew my mind. And I really love Araqueño expressions. It's hard to find what I consider to be classic great ones now, at least to my palate. But that was the best I had had and to that date, and I haven't had a better one since.
And I was so confused. I was like, who is this gringo that knows that this is special? Because I will usually pour that to people just because we had a lot of it. My boss at the time, Christian Thornton, had bought maybe, I'll say 1,000 liters, had put it in a water container unit, a Rotoplas, put that in the back of his pickup, drove all the way from Sola de Vega to Oaxaca, and we had there 1,000 liters of Araqueño to our disposal.
God, I would love to have that 1,000 liters. But so you, you know, up to that point, I had been visiting my friends, Eduardo Anales, and my friend Eduardo Anales in Santa Catarina Minas, which is relatively easy to get to from Oaxaca Centro. And then my friends from Mezcaloteca had seduced me down to their ranch in Miahuatlán and introduced me to so many of their family members who make incredible agave spirits. But I had never ventured out on my own. And you said, oh, you like it, you should just go visit Olegario in Santa Maria Sola de Vega.
Knock his door, smile, say, can I taste some of your beautiful stuff? Yeah, absolutely.
And you made it sound so easy. And, you know, I found myself one day, a couple months later, in Oaxaca with a rental car, with nothing to do, no obligations, no people I was responsible to, a GPS unit, and there you go. And I left Oaxaca Centro at like 6 a.m., and just headed south to Sola de Vega, 2.5 hours.
And roughly. It's a crazy highway full of curves. A cow might jump in there. Yeah, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road.
So I pull into the town, and the first people I see are three gentlemen on, I swear to God, on burros. And I pull up and I motor down my electric rental car window, and I say in my finest Espanol, por favor, donde es maestro mezcalero Olegario?
Which means, where is maestro?
Where is he? Where's Olegario? And they laugh and laugh and laugh. And when they stop laughing, I say to them, por favor, donde es maestro mezcalero Olegario? And this went on a few times before finally somebody said something to me, at which point I realized, oh, I am speaking to them in Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish. So they're answering me. I don't know what they're saying. And luckily, he pointed with his hand, and I followed down the road, and I kept doing this for like 30, 45 minutes.
And to all fairness, that's the only way you get directions in Oaxaca, because if they are going to give you more than a sentence, it might be completely wrong.
Oh, there were full paragraphs.
No, I know. So yeah. I also use that policy even if I speak Spanish.
Okay,
like,
fair.
I'll just see the hand and I'll be like, okay, I'll take this piece of direction, I'll ask for the other piece of direction when that direction is not good enough.
So it's universal.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So I did this and kept going back and forth until at one point somebody made two hand signals, which suggested to me that I had missed the left-hand turn that I'd driven by. So I followed that down and eventually came across another person on this little turn. Eventually, I mean, it couldn't have been more than like two city blocks. Came upon this guy, and I said that to him, por favor, donde es maestro mezcalero Olegario? And he said, you're looking for Olegario? Yeah, he's right over here. Perfect English. And it turned out it was Olegario's son. And Olegario's son had just moved back to his hometown to live with his father, brought his three children with him, girls. They were like 4, 8, and 10 years old. And they had grown up their entire lives in California, outside of Los Angeles. And suddenly they found themselves in this tiny little community. They were like, how did we get here?
And not even inside the community itself, like at the outskirts of the community.
Yeah, because
Legario lives like really deep in
rural. Yeah. And they were like, where did you come from, gringo? They were so excited that somebody showed up who spoke English. And they wanted to know, why in the world would I come from Chicago to visit Santa Maria Sola de Vega? And to me, and this is actually, I think, the reason that we're doing this podcast, or certainly the reason I'm doing this podcast, is for that moment. I got to say to these girls that I am here visiting your grandfather because what he is doing is unlike anything that is being done almost anywhere else in the world, that their grandfather was making magic. And that magic is why everybody should go visit rural Mexico to see something that shouldn't exist anymore.
It's definitely, I wouldn't say that it's even fighting for survival, but I think one of my favorite things about the artisanal craft environment or situation is that it's so flexible. Like, it'll be able to refuse to die no matter the circumstances, no matter how many people go in there. This is completely inefficient. This is not worth the effort. They will survive.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's a good point. You know, I think people, when they hear that some of these men and women in rural Mexico are making their spirits in this handmade, antiquated way, they get the sense that it's because they can't afford to do it some other way. They don't understand how to do it some other way. But time and time again, I keep seeing that instead, whereas the world that I live in is focused on efficiency, how do you do something in a more efficient way? In rural Mexico, in these communities, they're focused on how do I get the better result? And they just don't believe that the better result is going to come from the industrialization.
Beauty has nothing to do with efficiency. And I think they understand that better than anybody else that I know.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the point being made here, I guess, is that's why we're doing Agave Road Trip. I want the world to get to understand what these spirits can be. I want the world to go and visit rural Mexico. I want to send money to rural Mexico so that they are able to continue doing what they're doing the way they're doing it. You know, I've got no problem with multinational corporations getting into mezcal. I get it. Like,
it's something delicious, something great, something that the world has never seen. Of course they're going to jump in there. Are you kidding me?
Right. There's no stopping it. And I understand that after they pay millions of dollars to buy up these brands, that they have to protect those investments by buying up the agave farm so they can continue to access the source material to make these spirits. But in doing so, they also take away some of the sources that these small families had to get their agaves and keep doing what they're doing. So to me, this is about helping those communities access the dollars they need to be competitive for the agaves. They need to keep doing what they're doing the way they're doing it.
And visit them before some of them, like God forbids, but we know that some of them might disappear. And I think this is it's a great chance to visit them at their best when they're thriving.
Amen. So let's sign off of this intro and then get started on the next episode.
Agave harvesting.
See you in a minute, Chava.
Yes.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. The hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.net. Distributed by Heritage Radio Network, the best network in the world for podcasts about food, drink, and agriculture.
Two dudes named Lou and Chava in a car not built for back roads. Troubled back roads never meant for cars. Their singular objective is to learn about agave, bring the knowledge back to gringo bars.
HR and Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org.
Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.